If you got so much testosterone, you don't know what to do with it. Well, this is the right show for you. This is Grapple Talk with Nick Ragner and A.C. Riley. That's right, Grapple Talk, the man show for the true hombre in all of us. So stick around. You're about to be blown away.
The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts.
And welcome to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragner, joined by my esteemed colleague A.C. Riley and newly crowned co-host Jesse Von Ruten of Bell Productions. Do you like that moniker, by the way?
Well, newly crowned? That's actually kind of nice.
I'm saying, do you like the Bell Productions thing after your name?
You know,
Would you rather be super fanboy Jesse Von Ruten?
We don't have like lower thirds or whatever. This is a podcast.
Well, this is, I guess, yeah.
Not yet. We'll have lower thirds at some point.
Yeah, we will at some time. Look, there's a camera right there. We're actually recording this on a camera, but we're taking the audio files off it because we're too ugly to be put on YouTube. So I guess that's kind of what it is.
Speak for yourself, Nick.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is Grapple Talk. This is our summer edition. We're not on radio right now, but that's why we are coming to you live through Podbean and or iTunes, whichever way you like to listen to it.
I don't know if I would necessarily say
it's live. Well, it's not live, but I mean, technically, if you're listening to it, it's kind of live. I mean, in a sense, isn't it? Yeah,
you know?
Sort of it is, isn't it?
Sure, whatever you say.
As we do every single week, we like to preview the upcoming shows for this weekend to make sure you guys know where to head if you want to get your professional wrestling kick.
Upcoming shows.
And I will start things off this week, if you boys don't mind.
Dude.
Thank you very much. With 3XW, that is, tomorrow, tonight, depending on whenever AC Riley gets time to publish
this
podcast.
It's on Friday.
It's on Friday, June the 6th of 2014, in Des Moines Social Club. Come and go. Is that really how it's spelled?
That is how it's spelled.
Interesting.
Copied and pasted from the Facebook event.
Des Moines Social Club's Come and Go Theater, 901 Cherry Street in Des Moines, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, if you didn't guess that based on the name of the club. Doors open at 6:45 for advanced ticket holders. Otherwise, they open at 7 for everybody else. You'll get in 15 minutes later. Bell time's at 7:30, and some of the matches on the card, we're going to see Delicious Devin Carter taking on the Intellectual Punk Tony Sly for the 3XW Heavyweight Championship. We're also going to see the 3XW Pure Wrestling Championship on the line as the Unbreakable Zach Thompson takes on Jimmy Rockwell. And I'm just going to say this right now. Jimmy Rockwell, kind of a cool name. I kind of like that.
That's a pretty cool name.
That's a cool ring
name.
I'll give
you that.
Solid.
Just me, maybe. And we're also going to see the 3XW Tag Team Championship. Whoa. I'm getting ahead of myself here, guys.
Simmer down.
The 3XW Tag Team Championships on the line as the Rage Brigade of Nate Redwing and Devin Thomas take on Sexy and Smooth, Ryan Slade, and AJ Smooth. Now, as always, the card is subject to change. Tickets right now, VIPs are in rows 1 and 2. Kids or adults are $15 in advance or $18 at the door. You're also going to see general admission tickets, $12 for advanced tickets, $15 at the door. Kids general admission, if they are 10 and under, if you're bringing along the kiddos, if they want to see some awesome professional wrestling action, those are $6. And if you got a baby, kids 3 and under are free admissions to the show. So that's 3XW's Downtown Destruction 6 at Des Moines Social Club, Come and Go Theater, Friday, June the 6th. What do we got going on the next? That's the same day.
Well, we got going on the same day, and on Sunday, because Dream Waves has like their whole weekend.
Word.
Like, they have this whole weekend where it's going to be
back-to-back
wrestling shows.
That sounds awesome.
So, it's pretty cool. I mean, I saw that on Monday and figured it was worth mentioning.
Do you know if there's like a ticket package you can get? Do you by chance know?
I don't, but you can go.
I
mean, there might be, but I mean, Friday, you don't need to worry about tickets because it's a free show. All you need to do is bring a long chair.
Hey,
that's over.
I got one or two of those.
That's live at Celebrate LaSalle Festival at the Heliger Park. and LaSalle. I'm assuming I don't know. Like, I mean, this is a festival. I don't know if like you have to pay like admission fee in the festival.
But you have to bring your own lawn chair. Like, you can't. You normally bring your own lawn chair into a festival.
I don't know. It all depends. If it's like, okay, if it's set up outside of a tent or something like that, you want to sit down. You might want to bring your own chair.
That's
the
true.
The city's not actually provided.
But what if you like sitting on the ground? Do they allow you to come in if you like sitting on the ground too, or do you need a lawn chair?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you do bring your own lawn chair. You know, it's called your butt.
Okay.
that's very true. On Saturday, they'll have their Immortality 2014 show. That's going to be in LaSalle again at the Knights of Columbus. 7 p.m. with special guests Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey. Oh, that's actually pretty cool, man. You don't see him at a lot of indie shows.
You really don't. I think he was actually just on a radio interview over in that area, talking about it. Dreamwave made a post about it. You can check that out on their Facebook.
Cool.
Tickets are right now available at Michelle's Backstreet Doghouse in LaSalle. And then right after the show, you can join them for a huge after party. So, I mean, who knows? I don't know if Mean Gene Okerlund likes to party with the boys.
According to Ready to Rumble, he does like to party with the boys.
And Legends House.
Do people think he's sexy?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Is that on WWE Network, by the way?
Yeah,
we're going to take it. Legends House is?
Legends House currently is on the WWE Network.
We'll talk about that in a sec. We're going to talk about that in a sec.
And then anyway, wrapping things up for this weekend, on Sunday, they'll be live at Buffalo Days in Lamoille. I'm gonna assume.
How do you spell that? I mean, if somebody's listening.
Lamoille, Illinois.
Illinois, yeah.
That's an afternoon show. That's at 12:30 p.m. Show takes place in Allen Junior High School Gymnasium. Gymnasiums are, a great place to have a wrestling show.
No.
Doors open at 11:30 for that show, an hour early. And if you want to get ticket info, there might be a bundle deal. That maybe there isn't. Maybe there is. You can go. Always go to their website, dreamwavewrestling1word.com.
So that's Dreamwave Wrestling for the weekend. But on Saturday, Jesse, we got Power Entertainment. What are they putting together?
Well, Power Entertainment's got a huge show coming up at the American Legion Post 703 on June the 7th. Doors, of course, open at 6, bell times at 7. We're going to see a 2 out of 3 falls match with Matt Winchester taking on a guy who sells ice cream.
He sells ice cream?
Yeah.
No way.
Tyler Sunday.
That's he sells
Tyler Sunday, dude.
Tyler Sunday.
What do you mean he sells ice cream?
Well, he's like an ice cream man, you knocks on the door and stuff like that.
No way.
Seriously.
Does he bring ice cream down to the ring, too?
I don't know. If he did, he might be the most popular person ever to wrestle. Of course, we're also going to see Shonda Coleman taking on Stacy Shadows. That should be a barn burner. I know those two have been taking on each other down in BCW as of
really?
Late. Of course, card is subject to change. Tickets? Front row is $15. General admission is $10. You can check them out online at powentertainment.com.
Oh, well, and Riley just pulled up a picture here, and he actually wears.
Have you seen him?
He has.
Yeah, that's why.
Ice cream gear?
Yeah, ice cream gear. Well, I mean, ice cream salesman gear.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to say it.
He doesn't come out and, covered in ice cream.
What a gimmick, man. Like, I'm just saying.
It's original.
You don't see stuff like. Because, you see a lot of guys, want to come out and, make their own, personas. I sit at home, if I'm like, I want to be a pro wrestler, I want to come out as this character that's like a badass and wears a leather jacket and rides motorcycles and has, bitches holding his waist while he's, cruising down highway.
Is this what you really think about?
But no, this guy decides that he just wants to be an ice cream guy and wrestle in the ring. Like, how cool is that? Like, seriously.
That brings up, the subject of pro wrestlers who actually have real jobs. I mean, we're looking at, remember, Duke the Dumpster Drozzi was a garbage man.
Yeah, that's true.
Big Boss Man was a cop. I mean, what would be one of those occupations that you guys would be like, no way in hell this guy would be a wrestler?
Rip Ryan Summers apparently is a mailman.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think that would be, because I remember Riley first told me, what was the gimmick in Fond du Lac?
Fond du Lac's favorite mailman.
Exactly, Fond du Lac's favorite mailman. So I asked him, I'm like, is he going to wear mailman gear? Because that would be crazy awesome. Like, he comes out to the ring and he has people's mail and stuff. He's like, here's your mail and stuff. It's like, what the heck?
Okay, so that would be terrible. It's like your mail doesn't show up that Friday and you're like,
oh my gosh,
Rip Ryan Summers, man, I'm gonna get him. I mean, you're in front row and all of a sudden Rip Ryan Summers is like, here you go.
How much heat? It's like, dude, that bill was due yesterday.
It's like,
too bad for you.
Well, I think it would have more heat with possibly the United States Postal Service for not getting that bill to you sooner.
He might actually get fired off that. It was funny. I actually have a friend that's from Fond du Lac, recently, and I asked if she had actually seen him on the mail route. Hadn't, but then I showed her the picture, and just like, he doesn't look like he's a mailman. Well, he also wrestles. Okay, that makes more sense.
All right, you know what I want to bring up, guys, really quick? You know, we're kind of changing the format of Grapple Talk here a little bit. Instead of, you know, we don't have a lot of shows to always recap during the summer. It's not necessarily a dead period for independent pro wrestling, but, you know, we have, you know, things going on. We got to pay bills, and we can't necessarily go to these indie shows every single weekend. And, you know, there's a topic that I actually wouldn't mind talking about here quick before we get Livewire in here for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. And we read these, you know, previews of upcoming shows every single week. Me and AC Riley have been doing it for, you know, how long? Has it been over a year yet? I mean, it's been quite some time.
It's been getting close. I mean, we started in the fall, and we're in summer. So
it's been getting really close. And what I want to ask, guys, is, you know, based on poster readings or match cards, how important do you think it is for a professional wrestler to have, like, that solid ring name to try to attract attention? As I said earlier, you know, there's that guy, Jimmy Rockwell. I mean, it just jumps out to me. I'm like, this guy, you know, sounds like he might be, you know, a good professional wrestler just based on his name.
Pause. Talking about the name, you know, you like Jimmy Rockwell. Do you like Jimmy Rockwell better, or do you like Team Dick Smash better?
Team Dick Smash is always, you know, I've never seen Team Dick Smash, but when I do, I feel like I'm going to mark out because simply based on the name, and that's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay, unpause.
How important do you guys think it is for, you know, a team or a wrestler to, you know, really establish a good ring name to try to sell themselves to people that haven't seen them?
It's very important because what you're doing is you're building your brand. And that's exactly what it is. You got like brands like Nike, Reebok, and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know those names. When you're trying to get into the business, I would assume that you want people to know your name. So you got to come up with something clever, something catchy. And sometimes you get really lucky. Like Ric Flair, that's his
real
name.
Yeah, and it's perfect.
It's his real name.
And it's perfect.
You know, like a guy like Dusty Rhodes. I mean, that brings up so many images in your head. Steve Austin's a great name. And, like, he didn't even want the name. He's like, oh, man, you know, that's a $6 million man. I can't be him. You know, like, he ended up becoming Steve Austin. Alex Riley over here actually fell into that trap where your legit shoot name ended up being some guy's name.
See, it was such a good name that WWE wanted it.
Yeah.
But they just didn't want me.
But so, like, let's talk about you, Alex Riley, over here. To my left, we're breaking the fourth wall a little bit because you are AC
Riley. What do you mean
Riley?
We're breaking the fourth wall?
I don't know what we're doing.
You always call me Alex Riley.
I don't know what we're doing. But, you mean, you started out as Alex O'Reilly. How much thought really goes into, you know, coming up with that moniker? Because, you know, obviously, you know, I can't really speak for you, Jesse Van Rooten, but there's been plenty of times where I've been sitting at home, whether it be when I was five, whether it be last week, and I'm like, what would my pro wrestling name be as I twiddle my thumbs? And you know, I mean, but I've never actually
been on stage lately.
Nikki Smooth. But the reason that I chose that moniker was because I wanted to be the slick, slimy looking manager kind of, you know, type of role.
He does actually do it pretty well too.
That's, you know, that's kind of the tool, kind of a douche. You know, I can't be Nikki Douche because you could be
Nikki Douche. I mean, if we're gonna
sounds kind of hot. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well,
I kind of want to use that.
I figured we were gonna start, you know, kind of like relaxing the language, and you can have a team like Dick. You know, Team Dick Smash. I mean,
yeah,
sooner
that's
or
true.
Later, you're
Team
just going to have, like, maybe the fuckers.
Yeah,
no, seriously, like, but where do you draw the line with a name at that point?
That's a very good question. I mean, we got to the point, Big Dick Dahmer. I mean, that's almost crossing the line just a tad bit there. I mean, we have, you know, the bastard son of Odin. I don't really know how much crossing the line that is, but
that's not really crossing a line. I mean, he's the illegitimate son of Odin, so he's the bastard son.
But bastard's kind of like a PG-13, you know, it's a little bit. Like, give me that at least.
Or it's like almost like Stacey Shadows. She's one bad bitch.
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those things where you're calling commentary and you're like, should I say this? And you're like, I'm going to say it. One bad bitch. And you're like, it felt kind of weird to say, but I can always use the bleep. But I want to talk to you, AC Riley. So, I mean,
we're coming back to you.
AC Riley, you know, you had to change your name because obviously people were looking up Alex Riley on YouTube and they were finding your matches against Tulo. And you're like, I don't want this happening anymore because it's embarrassment. Just kidding, buddy. I was just trying to poke fun at you. But anyways, but seriously. So, I mean, like, how long did it take you to come up with it? I just think that's kind of, you know, an important, you know, how much thought do you really put into what you want to come out to the ring as?
I think you definitely have to put a lot of thought into it because, I mean, first impressions are always everything. I mean, you know, for example, Tyler Sunday, we'll pick on him a little bit. I've never seen him wrestle. I know I wish I would because, you know, I saw that first, you know, that promo shot of him, you know, with the ice cream and all that stuff. And I'm like, what a great gimmick. You know, I've seen this before. You know, we were all talking about how unique that is. You know, I wish I could see him work, but no, based on that, you know, talking about how you know, never seen Dick Smash work, but now you're going to mark out when you see him, I feel like I'll mark out when I see Tyler Sunday because of that huge first impression he made.
Yeah, it's kind of like also promoting yourself, too, because I remember in Supreme Wrestling Entertainment when they were first thinking about bringing in Yabble the Clown. Do you guys remember the road trip back when I was like, oh, my God, that's like the coolest thing I've ever seen, yeah. His entrance and stuff
see,
like that.
You see, like, this creepy clown thing, and you're like, how does this guy go in the ring?
Exactly, and then when you get there and you get to see it, it's almost like that's what I was looking forward to that night, and I actually do think that's really important, because if we were to go to this POW Entertainment show on Saturday, I almost think out of that entire card, not don't get me wrong, it's a great set of matches, but I would be looking really forward to seeing how this Tyler Sunday guy, you know, really plays out that character.
Yeah,
it's
no
something
doubt
that
about
really,
it.
You know, draws attention.
You know, and other names too, like, you know, Shonda Coleman, Shonda Boomer, whatever name she's been using across the Midwest. You know, like, you know, first impression to her, saw that video where she, you know, got chokeslammed like 7 feet in the air, and you're like, wow, she can, you know.
Is she dead?
Like, is she dead? Is she still wrestling? Like, this is just old matches and just someone's posting on her Facebook, all
that's
this
what
stuff?
It seemed like, I guess.
You know, it'd just be creepy if you died and someone's still controlling your social
media. That'd be terrible.
That'd be good troll, though. Admit that, at least.
That's how you get some heat,
I
guess.
Trolling, I think it'd be identity theft.
That's probably a little bit different. That's probably, there's some legal implications in there.
Well, bottom line, though, is that, you know, first impressions always a good thing, and you at the same time too, you want to have a name that can roll off people's tongues, because, you know, if you have like a name, you know, that's like in Arabic and, you know, you have to write it a certain way, you don't know how to spell it in English or anything like that, you're like, that one guy in the turban, I don't remember his name. But if you have an easy name to remember, then it's just like, yeah, it's always in my head. You know, you see that and you affiliate it with that name, and then that's good marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I've heard your name all the time, Matt Winchester. I see that all the time. Oh, you're actually him. It was good to finally see you now.
Well, speaking of, you know, somebody that's really making a lot of impact around the town, and a lot of people, you know, apparently know who Livewire is nowadays, we got him coming up in the Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment for our first ever in-studio interview. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's coming up next right here on Grapple Talk.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
If you want to ask me, ask me. And say, hey, Nicholas Joseph Ragnar, what just happened in the middle of the ring? Bull.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Yeah, I'm cussing on TV because I don't care.
And welcome back to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Today, this is a first. We've had, how many episodes have we had here, AC Riley?
Almost 30.
We're almost at 30 episodes, and this is the first time that we're actually going to have our Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
It's a Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
It's going to be a live interview in the studio. We haven't done this before. Livewire is joining us right now. How's it going, Livewire?
Oh, it's going great. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Good to have you on, and I guess, you know, first things first, what we like to do on the Spotlight in the Squared Circle, we like to, you know, make sure that the wrestlers get their names known, so, you know, maybe give a brief synopsis of who Livewire is for all the listeners at home.
Well, Livewire here, the whole name Livewire actually started my second deployment in Iraq. It was actually my call sign.
Oh, really?
So I decided to start using the name as a... more of a tribute,
okay,
you know, to my battle buddies out there. So
that's really cool.
That's where Livewire comes from.
It's really admirable. I mean, we've had a ton of guys on here. Like, for example, Shoeless Tyler Jackson. He started doing the homeless gimmick to make awareness for homeless people and stuff like that. So that's really great that you can, you know, do that to honor your past as an active vet. Now, I saw too that today you got your official retirement.
Yes, I got my official retirement orders from the Army, so now I can actually do some more traveling like I have been.
Well, there you go.
So, well, outside the Midwest.
You've really been everywhere lately. You've been in Michigan, Minnesota. You're in Kansas coming up here pretty soon. North Dakota, Iowa. I mean, right now you're one of the guys, I would have to say, in the area who's really kind of branching out more than anyone else.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
How many miles are you putting on the vehicle right now?
Well, I do actually have some good road trip buddies, too, to help out with that. So, and it's definitely a big help, and definitely helps me get a lot more sleep. So,
well, definitely anytime you get anyone to pitch in for gas or you can get some sleep, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I mean, that's a really
biggest
good thing,
biggest thing,
right?
Is, yeah, sleep. Yeah.
You know, one reason we actually wanted to bring you on live, we think you have a really interesting story, and obviously just based on how you came up with your name, you know, for your in-ring competition, kind of says, you know, a lot about that. AC Riley taking a drink of water and hitting his mic. But you know, something I like to know from a lot of guys, because, you know, they can be different stories, you know, or they can be, you know, the average, you know, sitting on old grandpa's lap watching Hulk Hogan slam Andre the Giant. But Livewire, I guess, where did the love for professional wrestling come? Like, why did you want to get inside the squared circle?
You know, I wanted to first be a professional wrestler when I could first breathe. So, I mean, I grew up watching Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, a big fan of the Flair Steamboat rivalry.
Of course.
Some of my favorite matches ever. I've also admired guys like Dean Malenko, you know, very undersized and, you know, and just, you know, you would think a guy at his size or whatever, you know, couldn't actually, but his grappling style just totally, and his technical skill just makes up for what he lacks in size.
Of course.
You know? So, also, I mean, I grew up watching a lot of AWA as well, so. So, you know, this is definitely, you know, my passion, and this is what I've wanted to do from day one.
Yeah, you got a chance to actually meet some AWA legends not too long ago. We were talking, like, Greg Gagne, God, like, who is it? Mr. Henning's father.
Larry the Axe Henning.
Yes, exactly. I was drawing
Precious
a blank
Paul
there.
Ellering. And also got to meet one of the gentlemen who actually was very instrumental in my career in training me. Eddie Sharkey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's a trainer of champions. You know, he never got in the ring with anyone, but you just sit on the outside and be like, hey, you guys are doing it right.
You all see, being trained with, superstar Steve Stardom actually came from that camp as well. And he could tell you that Eddie Sharkey just had the ability, even though he wouldn't get in the ring with you, he could actually just tell if you took a bad bump or not just by listening. He didn't have to see it. He could just listen, and he can tell if it was a bad bump or not.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that. You know, you bring up were your upbringings in professional wrestling with Steve Stardom? I mean, were you guys training camp buds?
Him and I trained together in Ken Patera's camp that he had out in Prescott, Wisconsin. It was actually a very cold barn.
Yeah, you always hear the stories about those barns.
The ring was, because it was no heating, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah,
you know,
I imagine.
Trained in there.
Yeah,
and it was
a lot of bear hugs, a lot of bear hug grapples,
a lot of squats too. Yeah. We had to do.
Got to keep the blood flowing somehow, right?
Yeah, right,
right.
So, take us back. Like, you got out of high school, you decide right there and there you wanted to do it, or was it something
later? I actually started for you? Training at the age of 16.
Okay,
out in South Minneapolis, and I wrestled my first match. In fact, I even wrestled the match the night I graduated high school.
Get out of town.
New Brighton, Minnesota.
Was that your first match, too, or was that later on?
No, but I did actually have my first match in New Brighton, Minnesota.
Okay.
In fact, in that same year, a gentleman who actually went on to become Bam Neely.
Okay, yeah.
Had his first match with me.
Really?
That very same place.
So were you also were you Livewire then, too? Is that when
I was under a different character.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I did probably a couple different characters. In fact, my
first
match.
Yeah, do you remember some of them? Because you always got to talk about your first few characters. Because obviously they didn't work out. Do you remember any of them? Or?
Well, one was the Shamrock Kid.
Okay. That's kind of a cool. I kind of like
that. That's
kind of
cool. Yeah,
I was also one of the Black Ninjas. I was also under a hood.
Oh, as a Black Ninja?
Team. And I actually did both of those gimmicks my very first time in the ring.
Oh, really?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it wasn't Black Ninja versus Shamrock Kid, was it? You didn't have to play both at one time? Because that's physically impossible, AC Rock.
Pretty much.
It really is. So take us back a little bit to you mentioned that you graduated at the same time you had your first match. So what was it like when
I graduated high school? The night I graduated high school, I had to wrestle a match.
So like when they were handing out diplomas, were you just rushing out there? Hey, I gotta go.
Were you wearing your gear under your robe or how did that work?
No, it was hot enough that day actually.
Oh, I could only imagine like just what that would have been like. I mean, I never actually had that opportunity where I had a match like right after my graduation, and I think that's definitely a first.
Yet, so.
From high school? Have I not graduated from high school?
I'm not too sure if you did yet or not. So
okay, Jesse.
Okay, the question is though, like, how did you find out about independent pro wrestling? Was it something that was really hot at the time in Minnesota?
Well, see, I was actually at the Anoka County Fair, so over in Minnesota. In fact, Jesse Ventura, he's campaigned for governor at that time.
Yep.
And I'm actually looking at these, these cases with championship belts in it, and I'm just thinking, you know, these things are for sale or whatever, and caught my eye, and I'm just like, you know, like, how much for this? I got to have it. And then some gentleman spoke up to me, who you guys better know as Ian Xavier.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah, we know him.
Actually, walks up to me and asks, are you a wrestling fan? And I'm like, my entire life. So then he gives me like a business card and he introduces me to like the promoter and all. They're like, you know, you've got some really good size and stature for your going and a good look, and gave me a business card. And I actually ended up going to the tryout over in South Minneapolis. And oh, okay. I was just starting going back to school.
Oh, okay.
That day.
Oh, okay. Okay. A lot of stress there for LiveWire back wow. in the day, then, huh?
So I only wonder, like, what the percentage of indie wrestlers that got their starts from being in a county fair, because right now there's two people that got their starts from a county fair.
Well, I would say the odds are heavily in you guys' favor at this point in time.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, all right, so, okay, we're going to try to wrap this back up and stuff like that. So you got your opportunity, and then you were deployed?
Yeah, how did that work? So, okay, because you must have taken some time off of wrestling to focus on
armed
forces.
Yeah, I did. I took a hiatus. I joined around the time of 9/11.
Oh, okay.
I joined the Army around that time, and I did a second deployment to Iraq in, like, 06, 07.
Oh, okay.
And it was September of 07 when I came back. And my last duty station at that time was Schofield, Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So that must have been that's a little change of pace, I bet, huh?
And I met up with some guys from over in Hawaii Championship Wrestling, and that just got my, the wrestling bug. As much as I was missing it, it just made me more determined to get back in the ring.
Was that something like that time off, did you kind of think you'd be able to go back into the ring? Was that kind of on your mind?
I thought about wrestling day in, night out.
So yeah. Was it really hard?
Time in the military.
Was it really hard when you got deployed to leave that behind? You know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was missing it terribly, and couldn't wait to get back.
Yeah,
I would only imagine. So, you mentioned that you got your startings off in Minneapolis. You know, you've been doing a lot of stuff here in Wisconsin. You know, Jesse mentioned Kansas. You know, you've been definitely going around. Like, how many states have you wrestled in so far?
You know what? If I were just to count the ones outside of the Midwest, I don't think there would be enough hands or toes to count them on.
Well, we got four people here, so we might be able to do that.
And there's only, 50 states, so we should be right. able to do this. Okay, so that's really kind of cool, man. Like, so definitely an athletic kid growing up as well, played high school sports and
all
that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I was very involved in amateur wrestling. I've won city and state championships.
What I think is really interesting, too, is that you know, I've trained a little bit, and I know you guys can probably attest to this too, is just the fact of how much amateur wrestling really translate to inside the ring, just as far as knowing how the holds and stuff. Would you say that when you first started training and stuff, that background in amateur wrestling really helped out inside the ring?
Yeah, I definitely would say it gave me a leg up.
Yeah, okay.
You know, throughout training camp, you know, learning all the fundamentals and whatnot.
Is that something that you also jumped in while you were in high school? Did you think? Because I know AC Riley over here actually jumped into amateur wrestling wanting to use that later on in professional wrestling. Is that something you had in mind when you started amateur wrestling too?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Did you have a very,
I'd
pretty
say
athletic
I'd use,
family?
You know, amateur wrestling is, you know, pretty much a stepping stone to get into professional wrestling.
I think, I believe Stardom did that as well.
Yes, he did, actually.
I mean, he doesn't like to talk about it. That's one of the crazy things about Steve Stardom is he's not really braggadocious. You know? No, serious. We were at the your show, the CPW show, in the end. You know, it was one of those things where he just kind of like opened up and he started talking about how he was in Japan. And I'm like, dude, you were in Japan? He's like, I just don't like to talk about it too much. You know, I don't like to toot my own horn. I'm like, dude, you were in Japan. You know? So when was the one of your greatest rivals, of course, is superstar Steve Stardom.
I have wrestled him probably almost all over.
Yeah, so when was your guys' first encounter? Because, like, the first time we got to see you guys lock horns was definitely in Seven Rivers Wrestling. That was back in 2011.
Yeah, I'd say the absolute first time him and I crossed paths, I would say it was Mitchell, South Dakota at the Corn Palace.
Oh, wow. What year, you know what year that was in? Was that pretty – were you guys pretty
I want to
fresh?
Say that was in it was either 99 or 2000.
Oh, wow. So that was, quite some time ago. And obviously, you know, I'd have to say, from both you guys, some of the better matches I've seen from both Steve Stardom and yourself was just that whole championship run in 7RW because you guys seemed like you had so much chemistry in the ring. Do you think that chemistry is just something really important to have with somebody in the ring? Because I know that you have, with Steve Stardom, you probably have a lot of chemistry between you guys more than a lot of other guys do here in Wisconsin. Is that something that's really important when you're, you know,
inside
somebody?
It's the only way a match is going to work. know, if both of them are going to be on the same page. In fact, a good example here, Steve and I actually wrestled each other 3 times in 1 weekend.
Oh, really?
Three times in 1 weekend, and it was actually last fall.
Really?
It was actually in August. This was actually after we were in Sturgis.
Oh, okay, yeah. There. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
We first night, we actually wrestled each other, making our debut for Pro Wrestling King in South Bend, Indiana. Then later on that same night, we had to go to Cassopolis, Michigan for Outlaw Championship Wrestling Alliance, where we wrestled each other in a six-sided ring.
Really? That's interesting. That you don't hear a lot of indie guys wrestling in
a six-sided ring, by the way.
That really didn't have much to give to it.
So, actually, I want to know then, because I've honestly never heard of another indie guy wrestling in a six-sided ring. What is that like?
It was very interesting. I mean, it was, you know, just having to know which angle you got, especially when you're running the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're not going to, button heads with the referee.
Right.
You know, so trying to stay out of his way and him trying to stay out of your way.
Yeah. So let's talk about what I want to ask, too. Oh, you
also here, then the next night,
him
and I wrestled each other. Back at the time, it was Midwest Championship Wrestling in Three Rivers, Michigan.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And all three of those matches were completely different matches.
Yeah, that's something that's I would imagine is probably pretty difficult to do, especially
The one thing I love about getting in the ring with Superstar Steve Stardom is, you know, he makes me challenge myself, and at the same time, I challenge him, you know, to up his game.
Yeah, it's always something.
We just always bring out the best in each other.
People with chemistry seem to do. And one thing I really want to, you know, I actually kind of want to know is, you know, we have this whole flip the switch. You know, you flip the switch on, you know, on how many guys here, you know, in Wisconsin. Where did flip the switch come from?
Flip the switch, you know, I was just kind of toying around with the idea of what would, you know, would fit best with it. So I just thought of, you know, the combination backbreaker, face plant. But to be honest with you, I'd say it was during a Raw versus SmackDown game on Xbox. Okay.
I like the honesty, at least.
So nobody could. So you heard it here. I got the idea from a game on Xbox, or else it was PlayStation 2.
Hey. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking credit to a game. I mean, Stable Number 12, that got started because the next stable you can custom make is Stable Number 12, and that's where that came from, if you didn't know. A little fun fact for all you
So
guys.
Who says you can't, you know, develop a wrestling move, let alone a finisher, with the help of a video game?
I wouldn't see why not.
Definitely,
I mean,
not.
Those games are getting so intricate now. They're almost like a simulator. You can go through and figure out how to get the stuff done.
Yes.
You can see how the moves are accomplished and stuff like that. It's kind of weird to think about it, because back in the day, you're just like, my God, he just landed on his head. I think
that's very true.
So moving forward a little bit in some of your recent career is that, you know, you've definitely been busy a lot on these past few weekends. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been wrestling for a lot of UIWA affiliates, and, you know, definitely when we see the rankings, you're not necessarily number one yet, but you're, you know, in the bottom five. How's that feel to, you know, just to keep working hard and then finally get on the top 10 when there's so many guys in that UIWA ranking?
There's a lot of good talent, you know, in the rankings here. And a lot of them who are, you know, well-traveled in their own right. Of course, Chief Atakula Kula, you know, recently he was in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And guys like J-Dog, you know, a good young up-and-comer. Dabashi, another well-traveled wrestler on the scene here. So, yeah, it's, you know, great to actually, you know, start knocking on the door and get the opportunity to work at, you know, all these new areas and all the towns. You know, I did Takedown Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty...
Last April, and I had an absolute great time. And, of course, I had to wrestle a match the very next night. So I went from Garden City, Michigan to Ham Lake, Minnesota for IWA.
Oh,
wow. How far of a trip is that? Night.
Quite far.
Quite far.
That's a good enough answer.
You might want to pack a lunch and a pillow.
So we're talking definitely about like 16 hours tops, right? That
it was, yeah. Usually the trips over to I did one in La Crosse, Kansas for World Wrestling Express not that long ago, where I actually had to wrestle twice.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So, and also,
what I kind of find interesting is, how long have you been in the biz, Livewire?
16 years now.
16 years. So, I mean, it's you know, you've been around for quite some time. And I always find it kind of interesting to ask guys this kind of question when they've been in for so long. What were your expectations first breaking into the business? I mean, were you expecting to, you know, I guess, be in the, you know, top 10 of the UIW rankings? Were you kind of expecting just to do it as a hobby? Were you expecting to go big? Like, what were your expectations when you first broke into the business?
My expectations were to be good, to be great.
Okay.
Not so much for recognition or to get any kind of fame or glory out of it. You know, just to be great at what I do, to be great at the craft that I've, you know, studied and watched for so long.
Yeah. You know, one thing I think that a lot of people can agree with that you're really good at doing too is, I think, like we've even talked about before, is just, you know, giving the fans the money, or making sure that the money that they paid was well deserved. I mean, you're really good at not only promoting yourself, promoting shows, and, you know, when you come out, you have a spark in your step. You know, how important do you think it is to really integrate the fans into independent wrestling, opposed to just being inside the ring and working with whoever you're working?
You know, you have to make the fans every bit a part of, you know, that in-ring psychology you're using. You have to establish that connection with them. You know, for me, it's almost embarrassing. I mean, I give it 120%, whether there's five people out there or over 1,000. But you have to have that connection with the people. It's almost embarrassing if you get no reaction from the crowd.
Right.
You know, but yeah, there's got to be the connection with them.
No, definitely. You hear it from a lot of different wrestlers that silence is a killer. And when you're out there, yes, and you're on that stage and you're performing your craft, and not to get a reaction from anyone, even if it's a jeer, you know, and they're just like, mm-hmm, sitting on their hands.
Yep.
That's the worst feeling on the planet. I got to believe, yeah, like, there's been instances where you got a guy in a chin lock and you're hearing nothing. And you're like, what the hell do we need to do to get these guys back in the match? And then all of a sudden you get it. And I know, like, the three of us, we've been at Elite Pro Wrestling and stuff like that. You do a marvelous job with that Fed. I know you guys got a show coming up on, I believe, June 27th.
June 27th. We're going to be back in Winona, Minnesota at the Black Horse Bar and Grill. Really excited. That's it's a great venue. It actually reminds, yeah, me of the old ECW arena.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can just get EPW out of my head for a moment. But, yeah, it's in fact, the last time we were there, Too Cold Scorpio was there in the main event, and my God, at 48 years old, still being able to fly across the ring like he does, and still hitting moonsaults, and he did like this backflip, combination backflip with a leg drop off the top rope. It just,
yeah,
totally,
wow,
blew us all away.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, you get a chance to, you got to look him up on the WWE Network, especially some of his stuff from like the early 90s in WCW.
Mm-hmm,
revolutionary.
You know what I find really interesting, too, is that I think what we've kind of noticed is that here in this area, you know, Winona, I know EPW books out of Toma, too, a lot. It seems like this area, although you'd think that there'd just be this, you know, this energy that would want to see a lot of professional wrestling, it seems like it didn't really work out for a couple other feds, but it seems like for EPW, you guys always draw extremely well. I mean, what's the secret behind, you know, putting together a great show?
Well, it's presentation, you know, for one. You got to have the right presentation. If it doesn't look appealing to them, they're not going to want to see the product. So it all starts with the presentation. And then it's, you know, of course there's word of mouth, but you got to go far above and beyond that. I mean, there's the radio.
Of course.
A lot,
definitely,
of people listen to the radio.
Of course.
And you also have to look at the news, you know, the local newspapers. You know, the internet has actually been great for, you know, I know I see the Facebook boost post out there. I've actually have taken that approach, and especially for anywhere within 50 miles of where the show is going to be held, where they get to actually see, like, the poster and what's on the card and whatnot here. So that's actually played a pretty crucial role in how we draw. In fact, the last time we were over at the Black Horse, I believe it was 225 people attended.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that for that place, that must have just been packed.
Shoulder
full
to shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Cause,
yeah, it was, you know, EPW always seems to, you know, pack the house over there at the Black Horse. It seems to always do well.
Yeah, I mean, I know
we have a great following.
Yeah, I mean, I know that me and Jesse actually, and me and you actually, one time we called, one of the EPW shows in the Black Horse. I believe it was that in February. Was that?
No, that was back in November of last year.
November. Yeah, oh my lord! It has been quite some time.
In fact, it was Zach Gowan's match.
Yep, that was Zach Gowan with Sexy KC.
Yes,
and
great match.
Yeah, I just remember the crowd there was just so hot and just so throughout the entire card they just loved every little bit of what EPW put together as far as the matches and just the guys that were brought to the show.
I'd say it was probably one of the best EPW cards by far.
Yeah.
I think Nick and me would agree. It was one of the better shows we saw last year, period.
Yeah, exactly. And, what I find interesting, too, is that when you bring a guy like Zach Gowan in or Rhino or Too Cold Scorpio, it's really interesting. What dynamic do you go through in figuring out who their opponent is? I mean, because, you're bringing in these guys like Zach Gowan and stuff like that. We saw Zach Gowan, Sexy KC, Devlin Kane taking on Rhino. How do you find that dynamic and who they face?
Well, when you have a guy like Zach Gowan, it's you have a man with one leg. You got to look for that heel, who's going to, got to look for that, that heat magnet.
Yep.
Which is what I like to describe Sexy KC.
I think a lot of people like to describe him as that.
I think he described himself as a chick magnet. I guess he'd probably replace that word. But heat magnet's also another good word.
That's one person's opinion, but it's not ours.
When you're having him work, a good heel like Sexy KC, that's where you're able to draw in that sympathy from the crowd. It's almost, a no-brainer when you see a man with one leg, getting the hell beat out of him.
Yeah, so it's all based on psychology.
How
can I
be sympathetic?
Yeah, it's one of those things, especially Sesky sees.
I mean, I'll be honest. When I watched a SmackDown and when I watched Brock Lesnar here, break Zach Gowan's leg on that steel post or whatever. Oh my God, I was in total awe.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, I'm like, poor kid.
And then you throw him down the stairs later in that episode.
Yes,
he
was in a wheelchair.
So it's like you break the guy's leg and then you throw him down the stairs.
I couldn't even believe they did that spot. But it was interesting TV, though.
So speaking of Gowan, is that you watched him on TV and you were in awe of everything that he was doing with Brock Lesnar. How was that like, meeting him, face to face for the first time?
Actually, the first time I had actually met Zach Gowan was for Midwest Championship Wrestling. And in fact, I even teamed with him after it was that weekend where I worked Superstar Steve Stardom three times.
Oh, okay.
I wrestled Steve Stardom for the vacant U.S. Heavyweight title, and then later on the night, I ended up teaming with Zach Gowan.
Not as the Black Ninja, right? Not as the Black Ninja.
Not as the Black Ninja.
Not as the Black Ninja.
Yeah. 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 Boy, I'll never be able to get over that. It's been some years, and there it is.
Now it's here.
Man, sometimes you just can't get rid of your past, right?
Yeah, right. But I had a blast, teaming with them guys. It was able to pick Rhino's brain, and a lot of things he was saying, it just made a lot of sense, putting the match together. And there was having to team with him in lacrosse for Cooley Pro Wrestling was probably one of the most awesome experiences in my career.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely
teaming with him and Gregory Iron. It was I had a blast. It was probably the most fun I've ever had in a tag match.
Yeah, it was definitely a great matchup. And what I'm kind of picking up here from this interview a lot is that it seems like you're really devoted to the psychology of professional wrestling. I mean, you love the storytelling. You love, great, as you just said, great TV, entertainment. Where do you think you kind of, I guess, got your grounds for what you, build for wrestling psychology? Like, did you get that from training, or did you kind of just pick that up along the way?
I've worked for, a lot of feds over the years, I've pretty much, credit from learning from the mistakes and failures and the successes from promoters.
Yeah, of course.
It's helped me a lot in my career, and it's helped as a promoter and a booker. So,
well, speaking of which, so what can we look forward to from Elite Pro Wrestling here in the next, 6 months?
I'd say expect to see more big names out there, more legends in the business. In fact, I've been in contact with Precious Paul Ellering.
Oh, really?
So look for him on a future EPW event. Also, Mr. Anderson.
Wow.
That'd be pretty cool.
Matt Hardy.
That would be cool.
Wow. Matt Hardy would be cool as well. Yeah. Why not? Well, Livewire, we are actually winding down on time. I got a little clock right here that I'm kind of timing our interview on. But one thing we ask every single person that comes on the spot in the Squared Circle is, you know, this show is really about selling independent wrestling. So, you know, and you've been in the indie scene for 16 years, as you said. You know, if you had to sell independent wrestling to anybody, you know, somebody walking around in the street, you know, what is the one thing they need to know about independent wrestling that sets it apart from any other thing in the world?
Well, first of all, you got to be passionate about it. You have to have the passion. It's got to be there. It's something you got to want to do. You know, it's being a part of this business isn't for everybody because not everybody has that passion, that drive, you know, to want to keep going further and excel with it. You know, and I credit that, you know, my success as both a wrestler and a promoter. It's all about the passion.
You know, it's actually a really, really actually interesting take on that, isn't it? Surprisingly enough, we've had how many episodes, and that might have been the first time we've heard the word passion used in that answer.
I think that is pretty accurate.
That is pretty accurate. Well, Livewire, thanks for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Spotlight in the Squared Circle. It was a pleasure having you on. I could speak for Jesse and AC that, you know, this is a, you know, cool experience having you in the studio with us, able to sit down and talk some stuff. So, yeah, thanks for coming on, and good luck to you, and good luck to Elite Pro Wrestling in the future.
All right, thank you. Appreciate right. it.
That was Livewire on Grapple Talk. We'll be right back with this week's Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
You have kids with muscular dystrophy. You disrespect America. And if you disrespect America, you can get out.
You can just get out.
Thanks for joining all summer long.
The door is right there. You get in your Subaru hatchback, and you turn it on, and you go in reverse, and you go down the road. You take one right, two lefts, and head north, and you get out.
And welcome back to Grapple Talk, a fabulous interview in our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment with Livewire. Had a lot to say. You know, very interesting upbringing, if I do say so myself. You know, a little bit different of a path taken, you know, to get in the business. You know, really cool with armed forces and everything, I thought. Anyways, right now we got one of our award-winning segments, as I say every single week, even though it hasn't won anything yet, aside my heart, is Wrestler's Perspective for
this. Stop the music. I don't want to hear it right now, because we're going to do something different.
What are we doing different?
See, like, one thing that I've noticed a lot on Facebook, and I think you guys can agree to this too, because you're all Facebook friends with a lot of the same people, is that, you know, we've noticed
my
a lot
Facebook
of
page is literally a marketing for a lot of these independent wrestlers. I feel like that's a majority of
it. It really is. And, you know, one thing I've been noticing a common theme lately is that there is a lot of guys that we know, like, going up and down the road that have been getting a lot of good nods from a lot of big people. So, like, my Wrestler's Perspective, you know, we can get the music kind of keep going now, is that I want to, you know, like, just list off names of, like, the people that have been getting the nod lately that you know of. Because I think it's awesome that the Midwest is getting a lot of people that are looking at.
Yeah.
You know, off the top of my head, you know, just this weekend, you know, you have Chase McCoy starting to get the call from the WWE. And then, you know, Dysfunction made a post earlier this week saying, do I want my job or do I want WWE bookings? Goodbye, job. You know, it's interesting. And, you know, even Stacey Shadows, she did Shimmer, and then she's apparently welcome back. You know, like, what are other some other people in the Midwest that you guys know about?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I guess I can't really say I've heard too much aside from them, because those are the really big names popping up right now. You know, as you said, Chase McCoy. Yeah, the most recent Chase McCoy, Dysfunction, Stacey Shadows as well. Those are the easy ones.
Well, the Bruisers were getting looks with Ring
exactly,
of Honor there.
Exactly.
It seems to be like a reoccurring theme. I mean, they're going to have another opportunity with Ring of Honor in August when they're back in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool seeing
one day
a lot of
before
these guys.
My birthday, by the way.
It's really cool seeing a lot of these guys and gals, you know, really getting nods. You know, and I think there's just a hotbed of talent in this area. You know, I think there's a lot of guys that could get looks, and it's really congratulatory towards guys like Chase McCoy and Dysfunction. You know, I haven't had the pleasure of getting to see Dysfunction live, but in talking with him, you know, I felt his passion for the business. I felt, you know, that he was one of the guys that, you know, is in it for all the right reasons. Same goes for Chase McCoy. I mean, when we'd watch him in Supreme Wrestling Entertainment and wherever else have you, you know, the guy seems like he just puts everything on the line, you know, whether it be, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out, wherever he just, you know, decides to wrestle. It seems like, you know, it's really cool, I guess, you know, that a lot of these guys come into it for the independent scene, and then there's getting these, you know, that's I feel like no matter what anybody says, that's the goal of every independent wrestler, is to get that phone call. Am I wrong to think that?
I definitely would have to say so, and I, like, going back to something that Livewire said during his interview, it's all about the passion.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are getting called up, these gals are getting called up, they have that passion for the business, and right now we're in this really interesting time where you're seeing not so much the giants anymore, the monster freaks. You're seeing more normal-looking people on TV, especially as wrestlers.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, as long as you are willing to put in the effort, you can make your dreams come true.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. It seems like a lot of heart and just, you know, it's just more realistic approach is what WWE has been taking lately, and I think it's giving a lot of hope to a lot of these independent guys. And, you know, as Livewire mentioned in his interview too, just having that stride, just, you know, wanting to do better and be the best that you possibly can. And I think that's really cool, and I think that, you know, brings a lot of hope to the independent scene, especially here in the Midwest too.
Well, yeah, you look at the guys right now who are really hot in the WWE, most of them are independent wrestlers. You're looking at Dean Ambrose. You're looking at a guy like Seth Rollins.
Cesaro.
Luke Harper. Cesaro. Eric Rowan. I mean, we got to see him, what, like 6 years back?
Yeah, there's a perfect example of that. You know, first seeing him in the WWE, it's almost like going to high school with a guy, and then, like, you're walking, you know, you see, like, you know, one of those bench advertisements, like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't want to sit on the guy, though.
Well, you want to sit somewhere else, but it's just like that thing, like, oh my God, I went to school with that guy or something like that. It's crazy.
You know, I want to ask you guys actually really quick before we have to wrap things up. Guys that I guess necessarily haven't been getting nods yet, but who do you guys think is on the cusp of getting a call? I mean, are there any names that come to mind?
Or you want
to
go first?
Well, I mean, one person we didn't mention, but you know, definitely I would expect to see it soon, is Ryan Summers. There's another guy, Benjamin Boone, who was, you know, he was taking on Zach Allen at EPW. I mean, there's another guy that I think would be, you know, a great fit for WWE. What about you, Jesse?
You know, that's a good question. I want to say Big Peter Schwantz.
I can see that.
The guy's really coming into his own this last, like, 6 months, you know, and he's been able to work both as a good guy and as a bad guy. He's really broadened his horizons, and his mic skills are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting bigger. He's definitely got his eye on the prize, like a guy we also saw earlier this year, too, was TW3.
Yeah.
He had a lot of eyes on him, too. I fully expect him to have more eyes on him again, especially with Jeff Jarrett's promotion stuff.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think that's, you know, that's what's really cool about being a part of this business. And, you know, even if it's working on production sides, if it's running a hard cam, if it's getting to do commentary, if it's getting to, you know, do color commentary or work on the card, is that, you know, seeing a guy like, just bringing up Big Peter Schwanz, you know, when we first saw him, I think in Supreme Wrestling Entertainment, you know, you saw him and you're like, oh, you know, this kid has some talent. This, you know, it's pretty cool. And then to see how far he's come and just to be like, wow, like, you know, like you just said, like, this kid seems like he could get a call someday. You know, you almost watch him grow before your eyes, so to speak. And I think I just think it's really cool that guys that we talk with in the back and stuff like that are seeing that kind of, I guess, you know, that kind of success.
What about you, Nikki Douche? Who do you think? who do you think are some people in your mind that should be? Hopefully, we can expect to see it.
You know, one that we've mentioned before is I gotta say it is obviously Rough Crossing. I think the dude has all the talent in the world. He has the size. He has, you know, I think even the gimmick works, you know, pretty well. Another guy, you know, that, or I guess I shouldn't say guy, but I want to say, you know, Stacy Shadows. I mean, I know that she mentioned, you know, the Shimmer thing, but I think that she could really, you know, make a difference, I guess, as far as, you know, it's you know, one big bad bitch, you know, that's what you need. You need that viciousness, you know, and I think that's what, you know, WWE lacks a little bit. You know, it's like in the bigger promotions, it's all about the glitz and glamour, but you got to bring in, you know, a big bad bitch to come.
That was the thing that was nice about Awesome Kong, is that she wasn't the most, like, glamorous diva. She was just one that would get in, destroy, and get out.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was actually a shame to, like, see her leave, because, you know, it was a great change of pace.
Well, speaking of that, it's a shame to leave each and every one of you who are actually listening right now.
Good
but
transition.
Next week is actually very jam-packed with shows. I mean, we're going to be talking about WrestlePalooza and First
Avenue. Oh, my gosh, man. I wish we could go to that. That was crazy. You know, they're bringing actually back the same burlesque show members,
I saw
too.
That. Yeah.
But they don't have the same bands. But who knows? I mean, they could have equally as good of bands as they did last time. I mean,
all right, so guys, since we got to leave, just in tribute for Yellow Dog and Wildcat, meow.
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 Woof.
Meow.
Woof.
Meow.
Woof. Woof. I was more of a fan of Yellow Dog.
I was a fan of Wildcat.
I was a fan of both.
Oh, wow. So
how
you're
can
that
you blend
guy.
That together?
What's that?
You're like a cat dog?
Cat dog, dude. I mean, 90s cartoons, where's that?
Well, they're going to be there, and they were advertised, and definitely you should go check that one out. But what you should check out is make sure you hit up our iTunes and our Podbean accounts to check out all the episodes of Grapple Talk. Also, check out our Facebook and Twitter accounts. Ace Raleigh, why don't you hit us with those?
Facebook.com/GrappleTalkRAQ and Twitter, RAQ Grapple Talk.
I always get those wrong, so yeah, I have to make sure that he says those. Well, for Nick Ragnar and Jesse Von Ruden and AC Raleigh, thanks for joining us here on Grapple Talk, episode number, what is this, 27 now, I think, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, hopefully we'll just say it's closer to 30.
It's closer to 30. Thanks for joining us here on this summer edition of Grapple Talk. We'll see you guys hopefully next week. Stay classy, everyone.